Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is gunfighter, gunslinger, and killer.
All-around great guy.
All-around great guy, John Wesley Hardin. He was one of the most prolific killers in the American West. Yes.
He's confused.
Yeah, I did some research and watched all kinds of video.
Yeah? Did you do research on John Wesley Hardin?
No, I did not. I did the research on John Wesley Hardin, the one star.
That's the point.
Why would we talk about that?
Well, the devil,
So you didn't research John Wesley Hardin. You researched John Wesley Hardin?
Yes, I did.
Jesus.
Okay. I have a lot of pictures, and I have video clips that we could have put up on the page.
It's like you're touched. It really
no,
is.
No, Colonel, today's topic
You guys need to be more clear when you're telling me what's going on here.
No, the topic for today. Did you understand it correctly, Brandy?
Yeah, because my mind's not in the gutter all the time.
Today's topic is John Wesley Hardin.
That's a pretty big coincidence, then.
he was a prolific killer back in the American West. He claims to have killed 42 men, although historians believe it was closer to 27. But nonetheless,
was it just to watch them die?
Some of them were pretty pathetic reasons. Like he killed one guy just for snoring.
Oh,
you know. So, but, you know, I guess that's justifiable.
That's legit, yeah. Dude. That's completely legit.
Right.
Do you snore, Timmy?
No, I do not.
Are you sure?
Do you?
I only snore if I'm laying on my back, and then my wife, Mrs. Colonel, hits me in the head.
Well,
at least she doesn't
shoot you. Like, so be happy you're not sleeping with John Wesley Hardin or John Wesley Hardin.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, evidently, Mr. Hardin, he probably could have.
No, I would not want to. This man had some equipment. You talk about carrying a Magnum around with him.
No, we weren't talking about that at all.
He had big iron on his hip.
He did. He was okay. Carrying a big barrel on that man.
Okay, before we get into the gunfighter, John Wesley Hardin.
Are they building a shed?
Let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the pill-popping, penis-loving, Satan's dirty little secret, Brandy. How are you, Brandy?
I'm a little worn out today, Timmy. How are you?
I'm fine. Why are you tired?
Because I had to go out and buy a car yesterday, and car shopping with your spouse should not be done. Ever.
And did you decide on a make and model?
She bought one, yeah. She
yeah. Lamborghini.
Well, yeah, well, because I'm baller like that, so sure. I did not get a Lamborghini, as was my first choice. I ended up with a Honda Accord.
Well, that's a close second.
It really is.
It's a twinkle.
But actually, you got the sport version.
I did get the sport version.
Okay.
And I bought it for myself. So I got the new car, and then my husband gets the older
car. And just so I'm clear on this, it was your husband's birthday.
It is my husband's birthday, and I got a new car.
Today is your husband's birthday.
No, his birthday's coming up.
Oh, okay. Well, happy birthday, Dave.
It's coming. But I bought a new car for his birthday.
Well, very nice.
I'm a giver.
You are. It sounds like it. You're very generous, it sounds like.
I am.
We were also joined by the very distinguished, a man of God.
Is that guy coming soon, or because we're going to get started?
No,
so
he's right here among us, among his people.
Jesus,
the very honorable, and saintly.
Nope.
The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today?
I'm ordained too. Like, how come I get penis loving pill popping, and he gets saintly
it's how you live your life.
Sandal wearing and whatever else.
That's how you. I'm sure he's a carpenter as well.
To be more like Jesus.
I
walk with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Just because that's your dog's name does not make that right.
I do not own sandals.
Perfect dog's name.
I don't have sandals, though. I don't believe in that.
You don't believe in sandals?
Not for men. Men should never wear sandals.
Because they have ugly feet?
I don't believe in sandals for women either. Especially women whose like feet is like really crusty.
That's why God made pedicures.
Yeah. So, Colonel.
My feet.
Yes.
How are you today?
Delightful.
I'm worn out, Timmy.
Why are you tired?
Well,
you've been researching John Wesley.
Watching all that porn kind of makes you tired.
It wore me out. And then I made the mistake of watching all the porn with John Wesley Hart on, and then...
Do not say a thing about your wife.
Mrs. Colonel, it was her, it was her birthday mm-hmm. yesterday, and...
Did you have to pleasure her?
God.
Oh, it's the sexual gymnastics the woman puts me through, Timmy.
I feel like you're in the Olympics.
And at one point, she took 2/10 of a point off, and I know I stuck the landing. During the dismount, yeah. And she was.
God. Do you use that powder that they use when you?
You have to. You get chafed
chalk.
And rubbed wrong.
Chalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and but I will say this: I still fit into the Batman suit.
Do you?
So it was a special night.
And you're still limber enough to do the parallel bars with them?
No, mm-hmm. He's not limber enough.
So I'm a little bit worn out, but, other than that, I'm doing well.
And what about shout-outs, Colonel?
Shout-outs. I'd like to give a shout-out to, we had a new listener. Was it Jen Stanton?
Yes.
We got a new follower on the page. I thought we had a couple yesterday, Timmy.
She joined us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be more. But
Jim, we're glad to have you.
Can you get Jessica's name right?
I have this. Jessica, I apologize from the bottom of the Colonel's heart. I got your name wrong twice. I got it right on the shout-outs, but then I got it wrong when I was talking about her wanting to do Dama. I called her Jennifer again. Which, she got a lot of nerve. She's fine to Dahmer.
She disputes the fact that she wants to bang Jeffrey Dahmer.
Here's my question.
I think she would like to go out to dinner, maybe have a date, maybe we take a long walk on the beach.
I don't think she wants to have
dinner's out. I think dinner's out for sure.
So anyway, Jessica Williamson,
mm-hmm.
I would like to apologize. And I just did that on purpose. I know your name's Jessica Williams.
Okay.
Jessica.
Are you touched?
I might keep screwing
that up.
Who else? Who else, Colonel?
We got Chanda and Jessica and Lydia and Tasha and Tara. And
Teresa Slavin.
Teresa Slavin and little Emmy. Emmy M. Waterfall.
Yes.
I don't know why I call her little Emmy. She just looks.
Well, because you screw up people's names. That's what you do.
Trixie,
of course. Yeah, we got Trixie. We got, of course, the Tiffinator. Tiffany Bell.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Boomershine.
Tommy.
Marvin.
Marvin. Trish Hilla. Celine.
Michael,
okay. You can...
Michael is a big deal. Michael passed his background check.
Yes.
Oh, did he?
He did.
He got his results back? I did not see that.
He did. Well, you should pay attention sometime.
Yeah, it looks like he's doing really well in his career, so congratulations, Michael.
Very happy for him. That's way exciting. I'm glad they didn't run one on us before we started here.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Would not have went well.
Shannon, Shannon's kind of a big deal. She was in Chicago.
Amnesty International.
She really does the Lord's work on two different fronts, Timmy. She's the accountant for the church,
mm-hmm.
and then she does her other godly work at Amnesty International.
Okay.
So Jennifer Burdick, how you doing? And Sarah Spaghetti. Sarah's the other one that found Dama kind of hot. Those are peculiar women there.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Ray, of course. anybody that I'm, and I'm going off the top of my head, Jahara?
Yes.
Jahara, correct me if I get that name wrong.
Because you never get names wrong.
I often don't, no.
Except when he does.
Except when I do.
Except all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm doing much better. You know,
Linda Castro. Shout out to Linda.
Oh, yeah. Linda, how you doing?
Yes. Two Lindas. Linda Middleton.
But other than that, you know, the things are going good. Me and Rutabaga was out last night, and he's starting to question my authority.
Well,
Timmy,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Every once in a while, he'll question my authority. Last night, we was throwing the ball at the field.
Do you have authority?
I threw the ball, and he went and got it about four or five times.
Well, at some point, it becomes ridiculous.
Time, you know what he did?
Right. Flipped you the bird, told you to fucking go get it yourself.
If he had a middle finger, he would have given me the bird and just said, go get it. I ain't getting it. I was like, Rudy, go get the ball.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he said.
Okay, I'd like to give a shout out to Cindy Lou and to Alicia and Chip and to Bridget, all for sponsoring us on Patreon. If you would like to be a sponsor, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can sponsor the show. We would really appreciate it. Brandy, do you have any shout-outs before we get started?
Lady Beverly.
You guys never let me get to Lady Beverly.
Why do you get all the shout-outs? Why do you get like 50 people?
I would like to give a shout-out to my mom.
No,
I think you should give a shout-out to your mom. You know, I'm going to give a shout-out to my brother, Casey, who is working hard.
I want to give a shout-out to Rutabaga.
You should give a shout-out to Rutabaga. I would also like to give a shout-out to my Aunt Beverly, who is delightful.
I would like to give a shout out to Renee, who had a birthday yesterday.
Renee did have a birthday.
Twins, Taylor and Tanner, who just had a birthday earlier this week.
And you know what else is going on? I'm going to give a shout out to Noah because he starts kindergarten coming up pretty soon.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
That's traumatic.
It's horrible. And I'm going
to. But you know, they get naps in kindergarten. I wish we got
they
naps
do not.
Here.
I wish we got naps here.
They do not
I do
get
take
naps
a nap
in kindergarten.
Well, yeah. We do actually get naps. Yeah. We don't get punch and
No.
Unless someone dies or retires.
I will go ahead and give a shout out to my other child, Jacob, because he starts school soon. He'll be a junior in high school. And you know what? Just for grins and giggles, round things out, I'm going to give a shout out to Jacob's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Caroline.
Sweet Caroline. Do you approve of Caroline?
I like Caroline just fine. She's all right. She works on keeping my son's head out of his own ass.
Now, see, Logan had a girlfriend for about the last year and a half, and you know, as young Logan
full-time job
does.
Did it run its course?
It ran its course, and it was just about the time because you know, with the three boys, there ain't never been a woman good enough. The girl ain't born; it's been good enough for one of Renee's boys.
Clearly, right.
And now Tanner, he took a different route, as you know.
As I do.
Which is funny because Tanner has a boyfriend, and Renee adores this boy. So he figured out how to beat the system because Warren's no threat to Mama. There's no competition there. But Renee was just starting to warm up after about a year and a half to Logan's girlfriend, and Logan's moved on. And I would like to give the last two shout-outs. These are special shout-outs to my dearly departed brother and mother.
Yeah, they're dead.
Do they listen to the podcast?
They won't hear it.
They're listening to the podcast in heaven, Timmy.
Okay.
We've gone big.
Okay. Now can we get started on
international.
John Wesley Harden?
Well, if we have to, but I don't have much information on the man.
I know, but you can tell us about John Wesley Harden a little bit later.
I feel like Caroline is probably scared of me.
I would imagine she is scared of you.
She's scared.
Your husband's scared of you. Your kids are scared of you. The local constable is scared of you.
Well, I think that's healthy.
Mm-hmm. There's two priests in your parish scared of you.
If I had a parish, there might be some priests that are frightened. But I feel like she has a healthy respect slash. Fear of me.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing to have. You know, I was watching, and we'll get to the show. I won't interrupt anymore.
We need to get to the podcast. I was watching
Amazon Prime, and they have a documentary on the Salem witch trials, which made me strangely think of you. And I thought, I bet if the devil were alive then, they would have put her on trial and killed her.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
They would have feared me.
Let's talk about John Wesley
Would
Harding.
Would they have killed me?
I don't know.
It would have been. So, John Wesley Harding was born in Bonham, Texas, in 1853. So, right, 8 years before the American Civil War. He was born to a Methodist preacher named James Gipp Harding.
Gip.
And his wife.
Did they remember the Gipper?
Yes, they did. And his wife, Mary Elizabeth Dixon. Harding was named after John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist faith. So Harding was described as a highly spirited boy.
Means he was wild. That's what that means. He was wild as shit.
Yeah. His father and family traveled most around central Texas, where his father was on the preaching circuit.
Now, you know who probably could have reached this boy? The son of a preacher man.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were allowed to dance where they lived.
Probably not, because they settled in Sumner, Texas.
Oh, that's
in 1859.
Methodists can dance.
Man, I'm not sure a lot of Texans would dance.
They're not good.
They do that two-step down there. It's really confusing.
Not good dances.
The two steps really confusing. Too many steps.
It's that second one that fucks you up.
Every time.
So his dad, Joseph Harding, taught school and established a learning institution, and John Wesley was, and his siblings attended. He had like 10 brothers and sisters. He had come from a big family. He was second of 10 children.
Find a new hobby.
At age 8, now remember, this was during, around now is like during the end of the Civil War, and we're getting into Reconstruction. At age 8, while attending his father's school, he was taunted by another student by the name of Charles Slaughter. Slaughter accused Harding of being the author of some graffiti on the schoolhouse that insulted one of the girls in his class.
Oh, my God.
Did they even have spray paint back then?
You know, he must have said, I'm thinking he said there once was a girl from
Nantucket.
Yeah, or whatever. But Harding denied writing the poetry. He would not take credit for it. And he, in turn, pointed the finger at Slaughter, saying he was the one that was the culprit. This ended up with a little confrontation in which the 8-year-old Harding stabbed Slaughter, almost killing him.
You know what? That seems like a measured and
an
appropriate response.
Yeah,
but when you're shanking somebody at 8, your future is probably holding some interesting things.
You're probably right.
I have to get
He skipped right over the. skipped right over killing the animals, Harding. Right, human being.
Well, you know, go balls out or go home.
Now, he was nearly expelled for this incident.
Oh, son of a bitch.
But his dad was, it was his dad's school, so, he probably pulled some strings.
So daddy did not help the situation at all.
At age 15, Harding challenged one of his uncle's former slaves, a guy by the name of Mage, to a wrestling match.
Oh, Jesus.
And
a what?
A wrestling match. Get on this. I've got to get through this.
WWE.
And Harding won, so... he proved to be the better man. But according to Harding, the following day, Madge did not take it too well and hit by a path and attacked him as he rode past. Harding, in response at 15, drew his revolver and fired 5 shots at Madge, killing the ex-slave. Now,
ain't that a bitch?
Wait a minute. Why would he want to... Who challenged him?
Okay, he
challenged. Madge challenge Harding, or Harding challenged Madge?
Harding challenged Madge for a wrestling match.
Well, first of all,
Harding won.
Why is he trying to wrestle a girl?
No, it was a guy, but it was a former slave.
They
remember this is post Civil War, so and Harding was raised in the South, so he had sympathies with the Confederacy. And so this former slave guy who was just freed a few years prior, he wanted to, fight him, so they fought. Harding, according to Harding, won. We don't have the dead Madge's testimony to this.
Poor Madge.
But Madge came back the next day, kind of.
Okay, and then laid in wait for him, and
yes.
then He didn't like that, so he shot him.
Shot him five times.
Sure.
And he died the next day.
Again, a measured response.
Now, the father, James Hardin, didn't think his son would get a fair trial since this, you know, the Union occupied the state of Texas at that point. So he told his son to go into hiding, which he did.
God-fearing man.
Now, Texas at the time had a self-defense law, which they do, you know, still do today. I don't know if that's stand your ground, but something similar. But Hardin decided not to fight it out in court. Instead, he went hiding. So the authorities sent three soldiers, Union soldiers, to arrest him. And Brandy's going to tell us about what happens next.
This jackass. So Hardin said he chose to confront his pursuers despite having been warned of their approach by his older brother, Joe. So these guys are coming to get him. He's been warned.
And I don't know if I put it in the notes, but these soldiers were African-American.
Yeah. So they're coming after him for shooting this guy, right?
Right, right.
And he's been warned off, and he says, "Now fuck this. I'm going to see what they want."
Okay.
Okay. So Hardin turned around and killed three black Union soldiers by ambushing them. He was wounded in the battle, which I don't know if you can call it a battle.
Right. So now he's age...
Maybe a match.
Now he's age 15.
At 15, Hardin had murdered four people and attempted to kill another one.
Yes.
So now he's got four murder charges pending, and he couldn't return home.
I wonder if his dad had a bumper sticker on his buggy that said, "My student killed your honor student."
And ate his face.
Yeah, my son
shot your honor student.
With a musket.
Killed your marshals.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if they, the people he killed, like, they had the bumper sticker or the sticker on the back of their windshield of the family. And then when someone dies, they just mark them out.
Put little X's through them.
X them out. That's sad.
Speaking of which, you know what Renee's trying to put on her car, which I've hidden them, and I will not let her get them. She got those people. Mm-hmm. But she got them in all Star Wars type.
That's awesome.
With a dog.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool.
I will not let her put them on the vehicle.
I don't think it's up to you. You're kept. You need to just be quiet.
You know, what I did last night...
Big old bag of shish right here.
I move.
What is with you? We're into the story. Look at that. Tell me your story, Chuck.
Last night, I got on Facebook, and I realized that I had to change my occupational status to trophy husband.
Yeah, you really shouldn't have done that. So with all these murder charges pending, he can't go home. So he was a fugitive, and he traveled with a friend and fellow outlaw, Frank Polk, into Pisgah, Texas.
Oh, good old Pisgah.
Pisgy.
I wonder if they pronounce it Pisgah or Pisa. Because up here in Ohio, they pronounce it Pisa, and it's...
No, like, it's Pisgah.
Everything is bigger in Pisgah, Texas.
It's Pisgah.
Is it?
Or Pisgy.
Pisgy.
Depending on if you're a hillbilly or not. But folks with a little bit of sense to them just say Pisgah. So anywho... Polk was wanted for killing a man named Tom Brady, who deflated footballs.
Yeah,
and they Patriots.
Yes.
You know, I think that's justifiable homicide. Anyone who would shoot Tom Brady.
Just being a Patriot's justifiable homicide.
So they sent the government, I assume, sent out a detachment of soldiers. So now they have the military after these two stupid fucks.
That's well, they should.
They sent soldiers from Corsicana, Texas. Hardin escaped the troops, but Polk was captured. So Hardin probably just left him in the dust.
Yeah, like, he probably said, "You know, you're on your own, dude."
Well, and it's one of those like escaping from a bear. You don't have to be faster than that guy.
Right.
Yeah. So at Pisgah, Hardin briefly taught school.
I'm getting to think that John Wesley Hardin would have made a more interesting story, but continue.
I'm starting to think that the Texas education system is lacking in some regulations.
Well, that's true.
While there, he claimed that to win a bottle of whiskey and a bet, he shot a man's eye out.
So he had a bet that he would shoot a man's eye out?
He claimed that to win a bottle of whiskey and a bet, he shot a man's eye out.
Damn.
Wonder if that guy then became a pirate.
He may have became a pirate. I mean, I'm sure the guy would have just bought him a bottle of whiskey instead of getting his eye shot.
Yeah, I don't know why somebody would make that bet. That seems silly. There's nothing for that. On January 5th, 1870, Hardin was playing cards.
He was shooting people willy-nilly.
Really, just willy and nilly.
Yes.
So he's playing cards with a man named Benjamin Bradley in Tuwash Hill County, Texas.
Okay.
Hardin was winning almost every hand, which angered Bradley.
It would piss you off.
He's probably cheating. Oh. Who then threatened to cut out his liver if he won again. No, is the guy going to cut out his own liver, or was he?
No, I think he was going to cut out Hardin's liver. That would be a deterrent. And if you can't win, why play? I say.
Well, Hardin drew a knife.
Because even if you win, you lose your fucking liver.
That's high stakes poker, right there.
Yeah, balls out. Bradley drew a knife and a six shooter, so he was overarmed.
Okay.
He brought a knife and a gun, to a knife fight. Let's see. Hardin, who was unarmed for once, excused himself and left. Now, who the fuck buys that shit?
I'm sorry.
You know what?
I forgot.
I've got a roast.
I got Pilates.
Yeah, I got a thing.
I got Pilates.
I completely forgot. Isn't that playing with you?
Yeah. Well, I think he just said, I got to go use the little boy's room and slipped out the window. Yeah.
I've done that on blind dates before.
Oh, I bet you have. I bet you've done it on sightful dates, too.
And I've had it done to me before, too.
There you go. Let's see.
Like that Danish guy.
Yeah. Oh, that poor guy.
The Danish guy that flew to China for a date.
I like your comment. Fucking turn the page. There's 600 million women in China. Turn the fucking page. He got catfished. That's sad. Okay, so later that night, Bradley goes looking for Hardin and saw him.
I have no idea what we're talking about. It's okay.
They will. They should.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bradley went looking for Hardin and saw him on Tuwash Street. Bradley allegedly fired a shot at Hardin, which missed. Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, you gotta make sure if you're gonna fire at Hardin, you gotta make sure you get him.
You gotta hit him.
Yeah.
Because Hardin then drew both his pistols.
Oh,
Wild West style.
He was like Yosemite Sam.
Gangsta.
Yeah.
He was an original gangster.
No, he reminds me. I'm thinking more Yosemite Sam here. Always just got the two guns blasting up every place he goes.
Yeah. Let's see. So
you think he was from Yosemite?
No, it doesn't say that. I don't remember
Yosemite Sam.
Oh, definitely.
This will be very brief. But
I doubt it.
I'm talking to Renee's brother. Renee's brother, he has since passed, but...
Of course he has.
He has.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. But before his death, there was really very little chance that he was going to split the atom to me. And
you're saying he wasn't...
He had
limitations.
He shows up with a tattoo one day, and we're looking at him, and he's like, yes, and it's Yosemite Sam.
Okay.
And I said, well...
Nice.
Okay. And he said, well, he was always my favorite. Yosemite Sam was always my favorite.
What did he call him?
Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite.
And I said, what did you just say? And he's like, Yosemite Sam. And I said, you know, and I always had a little trouble with her brothers, but I said, you know, for fuck's sake, son, if you're going to get a tattoo.
So then you throw out the foghorn leghorn
on. At least know. The name of the thing you're getting tattooed on.
Well, he thought he did.
Kind of like Yosemite.
Yosemite.
I kind of like that.
Yosemite Sam.
This is one time I was driving up from North Carolina, and I'll admit I was tired, but me and this guy were driving up from North Carolina where we went to school, and we're coming home, and these were on the radio, and they were talking about it was when they were trying to change over the silver dollar or the half dollar, whatever, what was going to be on it, and it was this whole thing. And this DJ was talking about whether or not they should put Sacagawea on the silver dollar. And I had to pull the car over. Like, wow. I almost pissed myself.
She was a hero.
Well, Sacagawea, was she?
Yeah.
Then if she was a hero, learn how to say her fucking name. I mean, she's no Susan B. Anthony. But Sacagawea, my God, learn something.
Although, you know, if we was doing a podcast, in fairness... If we were doing a podcast and she wasn't famous, And Sacagawea would have shown up in Timmy's section.
But she is famous.
We would all skirt it up.
Well, she is famous, and this DJ was Connor Sacagawea.
But wasn't it a Canadian? Because those people fucked
it. Was not a Canadian. Oh, okay. This is down. I was here in a station down south.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, I know, but still, come on now. All right. So,
probably in Florida.
They probably by Brittany Chacon. Brittany lives down south.
Ugh. All right. So Hardin drew his pistols and returned fire. And killed Bradley, hit him in the head and the chest. So that guy got screwed.
That sucks.
Well, he should have hit him. A month later, on January 20th, 1870, in Horn Hill, Texas, love Texas town names, Hardin reportedly killed a man just to watch him die in a gunfight.
That sucks.
This is my favorite. After an argument at the circus.
Well, yeah. How many times? When you go into the circus. Well, you little kids, you know it's going to be a battle. Because they want the cotton candy, they want the popcorn, they want the little trinkets.
And the lights, the little glow thing.
Bracelets. And then you got to deal with the clowns. And the midget clowns, which are not.
Although it's cool when the motorcycle was inside that little round cage and they ride it around.
As Ms. Williams referred to them, and aptly named them, I never heard this term before, Klidgets. Midget clowns, Klidgets.
I've never heard that. That sounds like a nightmare.
It does, Klidgets.
All right, so he got in a fight with a guy at the circus and killed him.
All right.
Which seems funny.
Then they had to send in the clowns.
They did have to send in the clowns to clean that up.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Probably in a little car.
I wonder, you ever seen the clowns with the ambulance?
The clown they fire.
The clown fire department. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, still, I hate clowns. All right, so less than a week after this incident, in nearby Cross, Hardin was, and I'm going to put air bunnies, escorting a saloon girl home.
I've done that before.
How often have you done that, Tim?
About 3 times a week.
Yeah. Air bunnies around that. So he's escorting this girl home. I'm sure they were going to read to the blind or adopt a kid or something.
He was probably teaching her Spanish or something.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Well, he was a preacher's son. He was probably trying to convert a woman.
He was teaching youth up here in the other part of Texas. Yeah. So, you know, why not? Utes. So they were accosted by a man demanding money. Hardin threw his money on the ground.
So they tried to rob him.
Shot the would-be thief when he bent to pick it up.
See, that's you never fall for that ploy. If someone robs you and throws some money on the ground, you point your gun at him and tell him to pick it up. You never bend down and pick it up.
That's just jacking 101.
Right.
Because as soon as go ahead and get it, motherfucker. Pick it up.
Yeah.
Pick it up. Do it.
It's not a good move.
It really is. All right. So Hardin was arrested in January of 1871 for the murder of Waco, Texas, City Marshal. No, but close. Let's see. City Marshal Laban John Hoffman.
Motherfucker. That's what happened to him.
Well, he denied that one.
Oh. Well.
Now, I wonder if he would have been in the army.
I wonder if he killed him.
He could have been Major Labian.
He claimed to kill 42 people. You think he would?
Why not just? Yeah.
If he did it, maybe he didn't do it.
Maybe, but I don't think that's true. Unable to persuade a judge of his innocence.
Okay.
He was held temporarily in a log jail in the town of Marshall, awaiting transfer to Waco.
They bring in the ATF and burn the place down.
Well, let me tell you something. This is like prison now, evidently.
Yeah.
So, he's waiting to go to Waco. So, while locked up, he bought a revolver from another prisoner.
Did he pass the background check?
Who evidently smuggled it
in his anus. Hopefully it was a Derringer.
Robert Black would have liked that.
He would have.
Yeah, he was smuggling the shit on. Maybe they smuggled it in Robert Black's anus.
You know, Robert Black would have made a good mule. If he would have just gone straight,
he would have made a good mule. He put his talents to good use.
Yeah.
So, Jesus Christ. So, Texas State Policeman Captain Edward T. Stakes and Officer Jim Smalley were assigned to escort Hardin to Waco for trial.
Okay.
According to Hardin, they tied him on a horse with no saddle for the trip. Well, and no name, as far as I can tell.
He went through the desert with a horse with no name.
Which is, you know, if you go through a desert and your horse has no name, you have plenty of time to give him a fucking name.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you give him one?
Yeah. I mean, even if it's a nickname. Well, yeah. You know?
Here's the other thing.
Call him Mr.
If you're going through the desert with a horse with no name, if you're talking to him, who in the fuck does a horse think you're talking to?
Exactly.
He don't need a name.
It probably feels good to get out of the rain.
Just get over here, horse. You ain't got to give him a name. It ain't like the horse
you
looking
know,
around.
You know, I never understood that song, Sister Golden Hair, either.
I like Sister Golden Hair.
I don't know what the hell it's about.
Sister Golden Hair Surprise?
You know what I think that's about? I think this is, you know, Lola is about a...
She was a showgirl.
A transvestite. No, the Kinks, Lola.
Yeah, that was.
And I think Sister Golden Hair, the light... Might have been a surprise.
Might have been her wiener.
Might have been a wiener. So wiener was the surprise.
Now, are they chicks with dicks, or are they chicks with dicks, or are they men with tits?
See, you got to be very careful nowadays to use the right term. You cannot.
Man titties are the worst.
No, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I mean,
yeah, they
are
take the hormones.
They're
got
really
the
just adding breasts. They really men are just adding breasts, right? Unless you go make that full commitment.
And have the wiener whacked?
Yes.
Most men can't make a commitment to much of anything, yeah. So I don't know how
they
commit to
that. Well,
that's
a big step to get your wiener whacked.
But, you know, I think, see, that's where you have, well, you got the best of both worlds, because when you get to the point where you got really nice, when you got your own really nice...
I wish our listeners could see Brandy's expression right now.
No, I mean...
No, I mean, finish your thought.
You put yourself... yeah. All of a sudden,
your unfiltered thought. Finish that.
Yourself a good set
You're
of...
You're saying this out loud, by the way.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just move on.
No, but I have this vision of when I...
That's
when
the both worlds.
I have this vision anytime somebody talks about going all out.
And yeah.
I have this vision. You know when you overcook a hot dog in a microwave?
And it explodes.
And it splits?
Ooh.
That's my vision.
It's hard to put mustard on.
But why do you even have to bring that up?
But I think that's how they do it. They split it in the middle and fillet
they
it
do.
Out.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. They cut a little opening there. They fillet the thing.
So
they fold it back.
And really, if you're going to go through that, you're best to have a small penis because then you'll have, you would be proportionate. Whereas if you had a big one.
You would just have.
See,
like
I would. I would donate mine.
Yeah, you'd have a huge
now with the
clit.
Penis transplants.
No, you won't. You just take some of it off. Your lady bits would be regular size.
You would have those. Now that I
meat
know what
curtains.
These are because I looked them up. You would have the massive labia
on your work computer.
You'd have the. You would have
John Wesley hard on.
You would have the big. You would have those huge labias.
Yeah.
And they'd be dangling down.
And you know, I think they should start a new TV show called...
Especially on a horse with no saddle and no name.
Called Big Labias, Tiny Houses. I think it's a hit.
So they
I would watch that.
They can't live in a tiny house because
oh, they
the
can. They just
so
have
big.
To be more careful when they purchase the tiny house to take in, to take that into consideration.
Well, if you're tripping
you
on it, I don't know. If you're tripping on your labia, I just don't think that you need to be living in a house with stairs,
you
tiny
know,
or otherwise.
In my investigation and my research on John Wesley Hardon, do you know there are people who actually lift weights with the labias?
Yes. I don't understand them.
Yeah. I mean,
Is that
you gotta lift with your legs.
That seems like a circus thing, though. That seems like something carnies yeah. do. I have concerns.
Is that dumbbells or is that like kettlebells?
First of all, people lift with their wieners and their sack.
I can lift a towel.
No, we're talking like a cinder block.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I ain't tried that.
And in order to do that, let me just give you that. In order to do that, they have to put these little hooks in their scrotal area.
Oh.
See, it's not working. It's really not working.
They put the hooks in the scrotal, and then there's something that, and then these straps hang down, and they attach that to the cinder block. And then they lift.
But, you know, if you're a dedicated athlete, you know, it's an Olympic
yeah.
sport.
Yeah, it is an Olympic sport.
I don't think
sport.
It's an Olympic sport.
And
it
should be.
I
would fucking watch
I don't
that.
Think
Amsterdam has a team.
Would you watch it?
I would watch it.
I would.
You would really watch that?
Well,
you
for
would.
A minute or two.
For the whole time. Just doesn't matter. Okay.
Now, Regina is going for the world record in the labia deadlift.
Her name's Regina.
Regina.
Get it right. All right, so... So Hardon is going to court
yes.
with these two Texas state policemen on a horse with no saddle and no name. So while they're making camp along the way, Hardon escapes when Stakes goes to find food for the horses. Okay. So there's two of them. All right.
Wouldn't they just eat grass?
I don't know if there's grass in the desert.
Does horses eat grass?
Yeah, they eat grass. Yeah. And hay. Yeah. So according to Hardin, he's
Why
left...
Why wouldn't you ride the horses to the food? Why would you bring it? You got horses.
Maybe he's resting them.
According to Hardin, he was left alone with Smalley, who began to taunt him and beat the then 17-year-old prisoner with the butt of his pistol.
That sounds like some... that sounds like Hardin's... making some shit up there.
So
that's according to Hardin.
Well, right. And Hardin, who's made himself sound like a total badass here, he pretended to cry and huddled against his pony's side.
He was a brony.
For a minute. And then, hidden by the animal, he pulled out his gun, fatally shot Smalley, and escaped on Stake's horse.
What? So he's a horse thief and a shooter.
Well, you have to still, in that situation, he has to steal a horse.
Well, no, he didn't have to shoot
anybody.
He went to talk to
a man about a horse.
Well, he shouldn't have. He later forced a blacksmith to remove his shackles because that draws attention.
You know, and that is the problem with technology. Because it used to be, if you could escape and you had handcuffs on, you could find you a good blacksmith. Mm-hmm. And they could get them off of you.
Yeah, they had a blacksmith on every corner.
Yeah, now...
can swing a dead cat without having
a blacksmith. You roll out of a cop car with handcuffs on, and you run away and run away and run away. Regular hacksaws won't cut through handcuffs.
Not anymore.
You got to get plasma cutters and whatnot and everything else.
Well, you need to get a blowtorch.
You know what they need to put on
them?
Yeah,
but that shit gets hot on your wrist.
You got to suck it up if you want the cuffs off.
They should put GPS on the handcuffs.
Well,
that way if you run
that's
away.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So what happened...
That's a bad idea.
So what happened to me was I had to have them removed by the police. So anyway...
You had to have them removed by the police?
You been handcuffed before?
They were just removed by the police.
But what did you do?
Were they put on by the police? Hold on. Stop.
What did you do?
For 1 second. Were they put on you by the police?
I'm not saying they... So I'm not saying
I'm the only
they
one
were put
in this
on
room,
by the police.
I'm the only one in this room that's never been arrested. Is that correct? Is that fair to say?
Now, there's a big difference between arrest and detained.
Yeah, but you've been both. So
well, that's true.
I'm the only one in here that's never been arrested.
You were booked.
I was actually processed.
So
you know the worst thing about that, though, is?
The anal search.
No, they don't really do
that. You
kind of
like that.
Yeah. It's a handcuff you, and they handcuff you behind your back. And if you've been in a Cincinnati squad car, they're because they get drunks and everything in there. They're
plastic
not
upholstered. Seats.
They're plastic seats.
Yeah, that has to hurt.
And they
do.
They are not allowed.
Really?
Yeah.
They do not put seatbelts on you for safety reasons.
You slide.
So every time they turn a corner, your hands are behind your back. You slide to get your head on the thing.
Is this something you just heard?
A friend told me about it.
Sure,
yeah.
And, it's... But the police then make a game out of it. It's like pinball.
Oh, for you.
And they bounce you back and
that.
Forth.
You know why? Because you were probably telling them stories, and they thought, you need to shut this motherfucker up. Take that corner.
They don't pay me enough for this shit.
Get the fuck out of here. All right, so he takes off. He's got this blacksmith and removed his shackles, and he found refuge amongst his cousins... The Clements family,
okay.
Not to be confused with the Clampets.
No.
The Clements were gathering in at Gonzales.
Okay, Gonzales, Texas.
Yes, it's in South Texas. Mm-hmm. They suggested he could make money by getting into the cattle market. They're so helpful.
The cattle market?
Cattle.
Oh, okay.
Moo cow.
Okay.
Which was then rapidly growing in Kansas and would allow him to get out of Texas long enough for his pursuers to lose interest. Fuck. So they're just
gonna
give up the dream.
Probably. This was 1870 or whatever. I mean, how persistent are they going to be? I can kind of see the point.
So Hardin worked with his cousins rustling cattle for Jake Johnson and Columbus Carroll. I wonder if those are nicknames.
I don't know, but you could, really not even that long ago. Before computers and databases, you could really just move somewhere and get out of all kind of shit.
Yeah.
Just move to a different town.
Still
state.
Can.
One of the
well,
downfalls.
Harder now, though. With,
one of the downfalls of technology.
Yeah, now that people they track you almost everywhere you go.
So, Jake and Columbus made Hardin the trail boss for the herd.
Oh, well, he's on a career path now.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
And, well, I wonder what kind of training you need for
that. Well, yeah, you have to say, giddy up.
Well, wasn't his father named Yippee or something?
Yip.
Yippee.
Yip.
I wonder if the old lady was always saying Yippee.
I don't know.
Yippee. I bet she was.
All right. In September of 1871, while a herd was being formed up for the drive to Texas, a freed man, Bob King, attempted to cut a beef cow out of the herd.
Oh, no.
Now, you don't cut a beef cow out of a man's herd.
Was he okay? So when you say cut a beef cow, does that mean
I think was, you take a cow?
Was he trying to slaughter it right
steal it? Is what I think. It
well, is. Here's the other thing: is there such a thing as a pork cow? I mean, all beef cows.
I'm just reading what's written here.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I guess there's milk cows.
Milk cows.
There's
but
milk
even
cows.
Even the milk cows
you
when
make
they
when Jersey cows
when
you
the titties dry
hamburger
up, you cut them up and make hamburger out of them.
No.
Yeah, you do.
You can't get up. Elsie, you couldn't make a hamburger out of Elsie.
Hell yeah, yeah, you could.
Listeners,
you can
please help us out.
Elsie would give us a hamburger and a milkshake.
All right, listeners, we need for you to help us out.
Bring the bulls to the yard.
What's a hamburger?
Hamburger. A nice hamburger.
All right. So he's on his career path.
Yeah. And this guy
going straight
is trying to cut a beef cow out of the herd.
Which is not a good... I mean, he probably was not the most patient man in the world.
When he refused to obey Hardin's demands to stop, evidently probably only yelling once for him to stop.
He probably shot him as he went, stop!
Or you know,
three shots.
He did one of these. Stop. Yeah. Stop, please. If you could quit.
Yeah.
So Hardin hit this guy over the head with his pistol and killed him.
Wow.
That's a good pistol whipping.
Well,
saves a bullet.
It does.
Well, the same month, Hardin shot and killed three Mexicans in an argument over.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Card game.
Yeah, in its research I did, none of the Mexicans have names.
My question is, how did they make it over the massive wall?
I don't think they had a wall, man. It was just like a little fence.
Just a little fence?
Yeah.
And just hop the fence?
It was just cattle wide at that time.
God. Okay, so while driving cattle on the Chisholm Trail.
Chisholm. Rhymes with...
Chisholm.
Nope.
Nope. Oh, did I say that out loud?
They were in Abilene, Kansas.
See, now, I got the Chisholm Trail in here in my research, didn't I?
With John Wesley Hardin.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. So these in Abilene, Kansas.
Yeah, and that's where he runs into...
Well, I don't know. I'm reading the story here.
Wild Bill Hickok, the famed
Is that in my script?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait for it.
The famed gunfighter and lawman. Go ahead.
Well, fuck. I mean, you just gave it away. Go ahead, Chuck.
No, please continue.
Jeez. Oh, let's see. So he's in Abilene, and he fought with Mexican cattle rustlers.
Okay.
Toward the end of the drive, a Mexican herd crowded in behind Hardin, and there was some trouble a-brewing.
Uh-oh.
There was some trouble keeping the herds apart.
You think our friend John Wesley Hardin may have been just a tad bit prejudiced?
Yeah.
There was trouble keeping the herds apart. It was like one herd the sharks and the other herd
the
was
jets.
The jets.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they were, you know, maybe they were doing each other.
Maybe they were Angus bulls and they just, well, go ahead.
Wow. So.
Anus bulls.
Hardin.
Man.
Anus brand beef is the best. I'm just saying. All right, so Hardin exchanged words with a man, the man that was in charge of the other herd.
Well, how could he do that? Could he speak Spanish?
I guess. They exchanged some words. Both men,
I bet he spoke pig Latin.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know why this
telling
is important.
Us to hurry up.
I know. I don't know why it was important, but both men were on horseback.
Well, it would be appropriate since it was 1870.
The Mexican fired his gun at Hardin and put a hole through Hardin's hat.
Ooh.
Well,
man,
so
that,
this close.
That's some pretty tall shooting there.
I doubt if he meant to, but, you know.
He probably meant to put one in his hand.
Right. Hardin found that his own weapon, a worn-out cap-and-ball pistol with a loose cylinder, would not
shoot,
file.
You
Don't you have that problem, Chuck?
I got a loose cylinder.
Your cap-and-ball pistol, it's got a loose cylinder. It wouldn't fire. So he got off his horse, his high horse. He dismounted his high horse.
Oh.
And managed to discharge the gun by steadying the cylinder with one hand while pulling the trigger with the other.
Oh, he
so wait a minute. Yeah, he did, but this dumb motherfucker that's with the other guys just standing out there waiting on him.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing,
guy? I fired my shot. You fired yours now.
Your turn.
That's all, I always wondered that about duels. Because, you know, you get guys turn, they fire, right? Get one shot, whatever. If you miss, are you obligated to stand there where the guy points his gun at you? Or can you run?
I
like,
do not
run
believe
at,
you
if you both miss?
Well, then it's, you know, no harm, no foul. But if I fire first and I miss you, am I obligated to stand there and let you take a clean shot at me? Or can I, like, run down the
road?
Well,
chances are, though.
Because I'm fucking running down the road.
Chances are, though, you both shot about the same time. So,
sometimes I'm a little slow.
It's a moot point.
You know, I often notice the true thing about duels. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes there was a gentleman's agreement that they would both miss.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't trust nobody.
I don't trust none.
And you're no gentleman.
Yeah. Especially if I'm dueling with someone. Yeah. There's a reason, you know.
You are no gentleman. But this guy evidently gets off his horse and steadies his hand. So I don't feel bad. The guy got shot in the thigh. Jesus, why didn't he
the Mexican guy.
Why didn't he just walk closer to him and go, here, see if you can get here. Dumbass. Yeah, the Mexican got hit in the thigh. So then they declared a truce and went their separate ways. However, Hardin borrowed a pistol from a friend and went looking for the Mexican.
So Hardin didn't really honor the truce.
He did not. Well, you would think he would, being a man of honor and everything.
You would think so.
This time, he fatally shot the guy through the head.
Yeah. It made him forget about his hole in his thigh.
I bet it did. So, a firefight between the rival camps ensued. Hardin claimed 6 Mexican cowboys died in the exchanges. 5 of them were, of course, shot by him.
Yeah, I think he embellishes them.
Because he's a badass.
Yeah.
Hardin also claimed to have killed 2 Indians in a separate gunfight on the same cattle drive.
Yeah, see, they have no names either. None of the people, the Mexicans don't have any names. The black guys don't, well, the black guy's name's Madge. But the Mexicans don't have any names. The Indians don't have any names. He's just shooting people willy-nilly, not even finding out their names.
Yeah. So, here. Guess what, Chuck?
Yes, ma'am.
John Wesley Hardin had at least 2 encounters with the famed lawman who did he have, famed lawman, did he have encounters
Wide
with?
Wide Up?
God damn it. No.
Oh.
Wild Bill Hickok, you fuck.
He okay. And in the research you did, Wild Bill Cock.
Yeah. Wild Bill Hogcock.
Yeah. All right.
You fuck. When Thompson and Cole refused his request to remove the bull... I don't understand what this... Oh, here we go. I skipped ahead. I apologize. The first encounter occurred in Abilene in 1870 at the Bull's Head Tavern.
Yeah, but Charles, you've drunk it.
I've been to the Bull's Head before.
Jesus. This place had been established...
You know what would be hard is giving the bull head.
We talked about that before.
Yeah.
She said, I was talking about how you mate bulls, or you milk bulls,
right,
or whatever.
You get them going.
She went down to say how dangerous it is to...
Be a fluffer?
Fillet a bull.
Yeah. Well, if they decide to sit down, then you've got a big problem.
Yeah.
I guess that would be true.
Almost anything they decide to do, you got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, do you see a pattern here? This man shooting now. Who's he shooting?
Mexicans and Indians.
And black men.
And there was no Muslims around at that point.
He's like the Donald Trump of gunmen.
Yeah,
there's just, there's the Indian. Dad's a Mexican. Dad's three Mexicans.
Yeah, he just he depersonalizes it. He doesn't give me.
So hold on, I'm going to tell you about this really classy place that they were at.
At this is where he had his encounter with the Wild Bill.
Well,
Hickok.
One of them. I'm getting to it. Okay. Unless you want to tell us all about it.
Please okay. Continue. I'm on the edge of my seat.
This like you know what this is like. This is like sitting through a movie that the person's
that
already seen.
Yeah.
You know, because I do the research, so I know how it ends. It's not a surprise.
I know how it ends, too. He dies.
When we come into this to do this podcast and record, it's not a surprise to me like it is to you, too.
That may be, but we're not the brains.
You're hearing this story for the first time, just like the audience.
We are not the brains of this operation.
Yeah. Every podcast is like Christmas to us, Timmy.
It really is.
We get the script, and it's like opening up a little gift.
It is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Please continue,
Brandon. So they go to this place in Abilene called the Bull's Head Tavern. It was established by gambler Ben Thompson along with a businessman and gambler, Phil Cole. Now, These two classy guys painted a picture of a bull with a large erect penis on the side of their establishment as an advertisement.
Well, that's catchy. There's obviously some one of them had majored in marketing.
Well, clearly, because, I mean, you know where it is. Right. You know. So, citizens of the town...
Now, where is that bar? Oh, it's the one with the big bull's pecker on the side.
Right.
The big bull pecker.
You know that place.
Yeah.
So they complained, they bitched to the town marshal, who happened to be...
Wild Bill Hickok.
There you go.
Wyatt Earp.
No.
Not yet.
When does Wyatt Earp come
in?
He
is not in this story.
I don't think he... Jesse... I haven't seen Jesse James in here either, Or Jenna Jameson, or whoever the fuck that is.
Jenna Jameson was in...
She's in his research.
So when Thompson and Cole refused his request to remove the bull, Hickok altered it himself, like with spray paint or something.
So he took the law right into his own hands.
He did. Well, he was the law.
He took the dick down.
Yeah, he was the law.
He removed the dick.
He took the penis into his own hands on that one.
Yes, he did.
Much like in mine.
Well.
I'm Wesley Hardon.
Mm-hmm.
So Hickok takes down the sign.
Well, he did something. He altered it.
Okay.
So infuriated, Thompson tried to incite his new acquaintance, Mr. Hardon, to kill Hickok by exclaiming to him, "He's a damn Yankee. Picks on rebels, especially Texans."
So he was trying to get inside of his head to piss him off so he'd go kill Wild Bill Hickok.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like all he had to do is buy him a carton of smokes and a beer.
Told him he was a Mexican.
Or anything. Just go kill that guy for me, dude.
You know he's a Canadian, don't
you? He knew Wild Bill Hickok.
Do me a solid.
Yeah, he knew Wild Bill Hickok was. He was having none of that.
Well, Hardon, then under the assumed name Wesley Clemens.
Nice.
Well,
Wesley.
And he put his glasses on, so nobody knew who he was.
Right.
But better known to townspeople by the alias Little Arkansas.
I wonder why. He was from Texas.
I don't know why you'd want to be Little Arkansas.
If you're going to be Arkansas, be Big Arkansas.
Yeah.
Maybe that was already taken.
Maybe.
That screen name was
I think he was
taken.
A tiny
it's
man.
A Twitter name.
Hardon was a little man.
Yeah.
So maybe somebody already had it.
Yeah.
So he seemed to have some kind of respect for Hickok and replied, "If Wild Bill needs killing, why don't you kill him yourself?"
Well, that's a pretty good comeback.
Is that a direct quote?
Yeah, direct quote. That's a pretty good comeback. You got to admit that.
Well,
if he needs to kill him, you kill him yourself.
You do it.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm not falling for that shit. Because Hickok's a pretty badass.
Well,
he's not going down that road.
So later that night, Hardon was confronted by Hickok, who told him to hand over his guns, which he did. Hickok had no knowledge of Hardon being a wanted man, and he advised Hardon to avoid problems while in Abilene.
Well, he knew him as Arkansas.
Hardon again met up with Hickok. Well, everybody knows Little Arkansas. Hardon again met up with Hickok while on a cattle drive in August of 1871. This time, Hickok allowed Hardon to carry his pistols in Abilene, something he had never allowed others to do.
Yeah, so he took a shine into him, it sounds like.
Well, for his part, Hardon, still using his alias, was fascinated by Wild Bill and reveled at being seen on intimate terms with such a celebrated gunfighter.
Yeah, because at that point...
They had a bromance.
Yeah, he hit...
it's the first bromance.
Hickok was already famous by then, so... You know, his reputation preceded him.
Later in 1871, Hardon and several of his fellow cowherders had put up for the night at the American House Hotel.
Sounds like a nice place.
Well, could be. Sometime during the evening, Harden, having become very agitated by, you know, I don't know, scratchy sheets or whatever the hell, began firing bullets through the bedroom wall and ceiling.
I told you he was like Yosemite Sam.
In an attempt to stop the snoring, which was coming from the next room. Shot a man for snoring.
Man, you don't want to have you don't want to have sleep apnea when you're around this guy.
Well, I'll tell you what killed the guy. Charles Cougar.
Didn't have to worry about snoring anymore.
Yeah, so I bet he got a good night's sleep. Harden realized he'd be in trouble with Hickok for firing his guns within the city limits.
People kind of frowned on that.
So he's not going to be in trouble for killing the guy. Yeah. He's going to be in trouble for firing his gun. So he's going to get the same amount of trouble if he had gone into the middle of town and set off fireworks.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So he hightails it out of there.
Half-dressed. I'm getting there.
Right.
Half-dressed, he and his men exited through a second-story window and ran onto the roof of the hotel, just in time to see Hickok arriving with four policemen. I believe, Harden wrote in a letter, that if Wild Bill found me in a defenseless condition, he would take no explanation and would kill me to add to his reputation. A contemporary newspaper report of the shooting noted, a man was killed in his bed at a hotel in Abilene Monday night by a desperado called Arkansas. The murderer escaped. So, yeah, that... They don't seem to have a lot of details at this contemporary newspaper.
Well, you know.
This guy was killed at a hotel.
A little sketchy.
They didn't have one of those pictures of him.
Oh, like the sketch artist?
Yeah.
No. So Harden leapt from the roof onto the street and hid in a haystack for the rest of the night. He then stole a horse and made his way back to the cow camp outside town. The next day he left for Kansas and never returned to Abilene. Years later, Harden made a casual reference to the episode. "They tell lots of lies about me," he complained. "They say I killed six or seven men for snoring. Well, that ain't true. I only killed one man for snoring." Neener.
That's like...
Breaking story.
Suck one.
Breaking news.
Oh, Tim has breaking news.
Yeah.
My American's Got Talent contestant was accidentally shot by a flaming arrow from her fiancé in the throat.
Yeah. Yeah, but it wasn't...
She wasn't a singer, was she?
No, and it was...
She shot him, I'm sorry.
Shot him with a crossbow, but the arrow wasn't like a pointy arrow. It was just like a suction cup arrow, but it was on fire. Yeah, so she hit him, and he caught fire.
I think they should win. I'm going to vote for them. I want to see what they do next week.
Right. Next week, she's going to show you how to debris burns. That's her talent. Okay, in his autobiography, Harden claimed that following the shooting, he ambushed lawman Tom Carson and two other deputies at a cowboy camp 35 miles outside Abilene, but didn't kill them, only forcing them to remove all their clothes and walk back to Abilene. Because he's a giver.
Well, that's a little degrading. I'm thinking they had on, like, maybe some, you know, the underwear. What is it?
With the flaps.
The thong underwear.
The thong underwear.
Yeah, but you know what was out.
You don't want to walk on the prairie with thong underwear.
Well, you don't want to have the wang out either.
Oh, no. You don't want your wang swing.
You don't want that.
You don't want that
dragging behind you.
Well, you got cacti. You got rattlesnake.
Porcupines.
And you got tumbleweed.
You got porcupines out
and
there.
And fucking tumbleweeds, man. I've seen on Twilight Zone. They took over a whole town on Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Tumbleweed did?
Yeah, tumbleweeds.
Well, they took up, half the space in the Devil's Head over here. So.
No, but you know what? There was a girl that used to work here, Melissa, and, you know, they get that wig hair always in the bathroom that was matted up and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
She used to call it tumbleweave. And that tumbleweave, made me laugh so damn hard. Okay, so anyway. So they walk back to Abilene. So in early 1872, Harden was involved in a gunfight again with a Texas State policeman, Green Paramore.
I mean, you got to be careful if you're a lawman around Harden because he don't take kind.
Green Paramore? Like, what a great name.
It's like the first thing that comes to their head. Let's see, you can't call him blue.
That means he's an inexperienced lover.
He's green. He's young.
Did they have soap operas back then?
I don't know.
Dr. Green.
See, I'm thinking they're just, you know, they didn't give this name much thought beforehand. Yeah. And they were like, you know, whatever.
That's an amazing name.
Green. Okay, well, Green?
He was with John Lackey.
Okay.
Which is a stupid name. So Paramore was fatally wounded, so that joy is gone.
So he killed Paramore?
He did. After this, Harden claimed that about 45 minutes outside Corpus Christi, Texas, he was being followed by two Mexicans, and that he shot one off his horse while the other one just quit the fight because he was too tremendous of a shot.
Yeah, he just said, okay.
Yeah.
See, I think the guy was, I think he had issues with Mexicans.
Really. I think he had issues with...
just about everybody.
Yeah, he's a very overinflated self-worth. After this, Hardin settled in South Central Texas in the area around Gonzales County.
Okay.
There, he reunited with some of his Clements cousins, who had become allied with the local Taylor family, which had been feuding with this rival Sutton family for several years.
That's the big Taylor-Sutton feud.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, he kind of got overshadowed by the Hatfields and McCoys.
Uh-huh.
But the Taylor-Sutton one was an ugly one.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah. So, Hardin claimed...
Devil don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, I don't care.
Watch the History Channel once in a while, though.
If Intervention's on, I just can't. I have to watch Intervention. True. So, Hardin claims two have been killed... Wait, let's see. Claims to have killed at least... Okay. Hardin claims to have killed... Look at that. See? Look at that there.
Okay, he killed two...
At least two members...
Yeah, well, I got that part. Two members of the Sutton family during this time. One, he killed a 98-year-old man.
Prick, he probably had it coming.
Way to go, big guy. Probably caught him on the shitter.
I don't really, you really shouldn't get charged with that. You're just speeding things up. You're just moving things along. The dude's 98 years old.
Because his family was tired of him.
Probably
by that
caught
time.
Him on the shitter, a la Tywin Lannister. Yeah. All right. Jeez Louise.
He might have been snoring.
Who knows? So on August 7th, 1872, Hardin was wounded by a shotgun blast in a Trinity, Texas gambling dispute. He was shot by a man named Phil Sublett after he'd lost money to Hardin in a poker game. Of course he lost to Hardin.
He was not a very good loser.
Well, two buckshot pellets injured Hardin's kidney, and for a time it looked like he might die.
Oh, no.
Lo and behold, it was around this time that Hardin married a 15-year-old girl by the name of Jane Bowen of Alabama. Wonder if they're related. Most of their married life would be shared on the run. While recuperating from his wounds, Hardin decided he wanted to settle down. He made a sickbed surrender to law authorities, handing over his guns to Sheriff Regan of Cherokee County, Texas.
So he was going
to
get right with the law.
And the Lord.
And the Lord.
Okay. And asked to be tried for his past crimes to clear the slate. I don't know if that's how it works. However, when Hardin learned of how many murders Regan was going to charge him with, he changed his mind. Said, fuck that noise. Wait a minute. Whoa.
I shot a couple Mexicans. Come on.
And a 98-year-old
Taylor man.
Jesus.
And he might have been an Indian as wrinkly.
And he was old. And
nobody could tell.
And he was,
incontinent.
Around. Yeah, he wasn't going to be around very much longer anyway. Healthcare costs, save the family money.
He was in hospice.
He had the diabetes.
Aw, Wilford. However, he says, fuck that noise, I'm not going to do that. So, a relative smuggled in a saw.
See, you just can't go you can't go to the police, turn yourself in, and say,
take backsies.
I call take backsies. I have my fingers crossed. Yeah. I have my fingers crossed. So, this relative brings in a saw, and Hardin escaped after cutting through the bars of a prison window.
How big were these people's anuses?
That's all I'm screaming. My God. Why didn't you just smuggle dynamite in there?
Robert Black could have smuggled that in. He could have smuggled in a chainsaw.
He could have smuggled in a car.
Black and Decker.
A bulldozer to take you and knock the wall down.
God. In Curo, Texas, in May of 1873... Yeah, so Hardin goes out again. Hardin killed DeWitt County Deputy Sheriff J.B. Morgan. Not to be confused with J.P. Morgan.
No. Who was wealthier.
Who was doing much better than this guy.
Than J.B.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it was his poor cousin.
It really was. So, And this is important, J.B. Morgan, who served under County Sheriff Jack Helms.
Oh, that ain't good.
So,
well,
yeah.
So, you know, when you're pissing off Jack Helms.
Well, when you get Jack involved, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
With law enforcement.
Jack don't play.
No, he don't. With law enforcement moving in on him, Hardin and his wife made their way to Florida to hide out because everything fucking crazy happens in Florida.
You gotta be careful down there. You got the Zika. Yeah.
Well, you got the Zika, you got the Gators, you got the people.
Meth heads.
Serial killers.
The people.
You got the Henry Lee Lucas, Otis Tootle.
Eileen Wuornos.
That's right. You gotta be careful.
The people on bath salts, the zombie on the bath salts.
Zombie guy. So Hardin settles in Gainesville. Because that's what he needs to do.
And probably looked at it going to the University of Florida while he was there.
Well,
I wonder if he was a Gators fan, the Seminoles.
I don't know, but
you know he wasn't a Seminoles fan.
No, he wasn't. No. That's
he goes under the alien. He goes under the alias Swain.
Joseph Swain, I think this one.
It's like Bond, James Bond.
Yeah, Swain.
On May 1st, 1870. That's not in my thing.
Okay,
here.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Just so, a little extra knowledge.
Swain. So on May 1st, 1874, while living in Gainesville, Jesus, God, a black guy named Eli was accused of assaulting a white woman. An angry mob tried to set the Alachua County Jail on fire where Eli was being held.
Let me guess, most of them were white.
I would not dare
I'll go
to
out
guess.
I will go out on I will go out on a cliff and say that.
Now that surprises me because back in about 1875, Florida was known as a very progressive place.
Well, they weren't progressive with this guy. So what else happened?
Well, Jesus God. So when
you gotta burn the whole jail down.
This guy is
How'd you like to be the guy Otis in the drunk tank?
Just not his business.
I just added
here's
me
the
drinks.
Thing, Hardin, in his warped, fucking, twisted sense of justice here, is gonna throw out some Colonel Justice at this poor guy.
So the
sheriff brings the prisoner out of jail to escape the fire.
Right.
And Hardin knocked the sheriff down and shot the black man to death. Because he has the moral high ground here.
Oh, yeah.
Since Eli would have likely been found guilty and hanged anyway, no charges were filed against Hardin. Sure. Sure.
It's like the 98-year-old man. Just saved us a little bit of time.
He's
going to
die anyway. So this guy.
Poor guy.
Yeah. So they didn't file him. So Hardin, who evidently has some kind of glutton for punishment, returns to Texas, meeting up on May 26, 1874, in a Comanche saloon with some friends to celebrate his upcoming 21st birthday.
He's only 21.
He's only 21.
He's a pretty full life.
Hardin spotted Brown County Deputy Sheriff Charles Webb entering the premises. Hardin asked Webb if he'd come to arrest him. When Webb replied, nope, Hardin invited him into the hotel for a drink. As he followed Hardin inside, Hardin claims Webb drew his gun and one of Hardin's men yelled a warning. However, it was reported at the time that Webb was shot as he was pulling out an arrest warrant for one of Hardin's group. Either way, in the gunfight that inevitably followed, Webb was shot dead. Two of Hardin's accomplices in the shooting were a cousin, Bud Dixon, and Jim Taylor. The death of the popular Webb resulted in a quick formation of a lynch mob. Hardin's parents and wife were taken into protective custody, and his brother Joe and two cousins, brothers Bud and Tom Dixon, were arrested on outstanding warrants. A group of local men broke into the jail in July of 1874 and hanged Joe, Bud, and Tom.
You know, the jail wasn't really the safe place to be.
My God.
Take me anywhere but jail, would you?
It's claimed that the hanging ropes were deliberately cut too long in order to cause death through slow strangulation.
You've talked about that before.
As grass was found between their toes. He's talked about everything before. So
these guys are really just standing on their ground, but they're getting
they're on their tippy toes.
Yeah, that's kind of shitty. So after his brother's lynching, Hardin claimed that he twice drove away men who were coming after him, killing a man in both encounters. Shortly afterwards, Hardin and a new companion, Mac Young, were suspected of horse thievery and were pursued by a posse. They finally formed a fucking posse.
Yeah.
Near Belleville in Austin County, Texas. Hardin pulled his pistols on an Austin County sheriff, Gustav Langhammer. I was wrong. That's the name.
Yeah. That's a good name.
There's your headline.
All right, what's the dude's name again?
Gustav Langhammer.
Yeah. You got a lot of pussy with that name.
But he didn't shoot him because, you know, Hardin recognized Gustav was awesome.
Yeah.
While separately, Young was arrested and fined $100 for carrying a pistol. Hardin was not charged. Again.
Like the hell policy then.
After this encounter, Hardin returned to Florida.
It's like kind of pointless to find a guy $100.
Well, $100 was a lot of money back then.
Well, yeah, but not for Hardin. He got off scot-free.
After this, Hardin returned to Florida and started, again, living under the last name of Swain. So, Chuck, what happened after that?
Well, after that, they're just getting a little bit tired of him now. And Texas legislature authorized Governor Richard B. Hubbard to offer a $4,000 reward.
That's a lot of money back then.
In today's dollars, that would be about $4,833.
A lot more than that.
But for the apprehension of John Wesley Hardin.
Okay.
Now, the Texas Rangers, you don't want those guys coming after you.
They're a very good team, but I don't know how.
Is Walker with them?
Yeah, Walker. Well, no, Walker was not on the force yet.
Yeah, he was. Chuck Norris has always been there.
They had an undercover agent.
Okay.
His name was Jack Duncan.
So what happened?
He intercepted a letter that was sent to Hardin's father-in-law by his brother-in-law, the outlaw Joshua Robert Brown Bowen.
Okay.
Now, the letter mentioned in Hardin's whereabouts in the Alabama-Florida border under the assumed name of James Swain.
So they're going in looking at the mail, right?
Apparently, that's what it seems to be.
Okay.
They're checking the mail.
Set the stage.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
On August 24, 1877, Hardin was arrested on a train in Pensacola, Florida, by the Rangers and the local authorities. The lawmen boarded the train to arrest Hardin. When they caught up with Hardin in Florida, they took him by surprise. When Hardin realized what was going on, he attempted to draw a gun, but it got caught in his suspenders. That's why I don't wear suspenders, Timmy.
Well, you know who else would have that problem? The Larry fucking King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He probably did.
I bet I could outdraw Larry King.
I bet you could, too.
Wow.
Hardin was knocked out and two others arrested. During the event, Texas Ranger John B. Armstrong, this right before he went to the moon, shot and killed one of Hardin's companions named Mann. Just prior to his capture, two black men and four of the former slaves of his father, Jake Menzel and Robert Burope, had tried to capture Hardin in Gainesville, Florida. Hardin killed one and blinded the other. Hardin was tried for the killing of Deputy Charles Webb and was sentenced to Huntsville Prison for 25 years. Now, early on, he made several attempts to escape, but eventually he adapted to prison life. Using the lye soap, he found that it made the sodomy much less pleasant.
Oh, my God.
That's not in the script.
Less unpleasant. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Using prison as an opportunity to better himself.
He's back on John Wesley Hardin.
I know. I'm sorry.
You get confused. I understand.
Using prison as an opportunity to better himself, because the son of a bitch couldn't have been much worse by this time, he read theological books, much like the colonel does.
Mm-hmm.
And became superintendent at a prison Sunday school.
Of course he did.
And studied law.
He was like Nicola.
He was, except for the shooting people part, which Nicola might be doing.
Except for the part about killing 42 people.
Yeah. I think Nicola's only up to 16.
Yeah. She has a way to go.
Yeah, and three of those was from
she's still young.
From her cooking, I believe. But
didn't catch out for that.
Hardin was plagued by recurring poor health in prison, especially when the wound he had received from an earlier shot became reinfected in 1880. I didn't know they
kidney?
Could get reinfected.
Yeah, when he got shot in the kidney by that guy. Yeah.
So that caused him to be bedridden for 2 years. I wonder if he gets time served if you're bedridden for 2 years. Because that's not hard labor, being bedridden for 2 years.
Right.
Well, I guess it'd be hard labor if you're a prostitute, being bedridden for 2 years.
True.
Now, Hardin's first wife, Jane, died while he was serving his sentence. Now, Hardin was released from prison February 1894.
Mm-hmm.
So he had served roughly about 17 years.
For 42
years.
Yeah,
of the 25-year sentence.
Yeah.
He returned to Gonzales, Texas, and was just pissed off because it was named Gonzales, Texas, later that year. Hardin was pardoned And on July 21, he passed the Texas bar examination, obtaining his license to practice law.
Good Lord. You know, I think there's still, I don't know now.
Wait a minute, so this guy passed the bar. Timmy, did you pass the bar?
No. You know, there's some states where you don't even have to have a law degree to take the bar. Louisiana, okay. Yeah, I think Louisiana is one of them, if I'm not mistaken. But continue.
Timmy didn't pass the bar. Well,
I didn't take the bar.
Same thing.
Continue, Colonel.
He did not, no, you would think he was coming out a reformed man.
You would think.
Yeah, you would think.
You would think. But according to a newspaper article in 1900, shortly after being released from prison, Hardin committed negligent homicide when he made a $5 bet that he could, at the first shot, knock a Mexican man off the soapbox he was sunning himself on, winning the bet, but leaving the man dead from the fall and not the gunshot.
So he's telling he's going to shoot this hat off this guy's head, mm-hmm. and he shoots, and the guy falls, and he dies.
Yeah.
For $5.
Did for he get $5.
The did he technically win that?
I think so. I don't even know if the other guy paid.
I'm getting a feeling here that Hardin would be a Trump supporter. Are you getting that vibe?
That's what I said. He's a Donald Trump alum.
Yeah.
He sees a Mexican. He's got to shoot him. So on January 9, 1895, he was 36 years old. He married another 15-year-old girl named Callie.
He's got something for 15-year-olds.
It ended quickly, but it was never really dissolved. Now, afterwards, Hardin moved to El Paso. El Paso lawman John Selman Jr. arrested Hardin's friend and part-time prostitute, the widow, M. Rose, for brandishing a gun in public.
Okay.
Now, Hardin confronted Selman. And the two men argued. Selman's 56-year-old father, Constable John Selman Sr., himself a well-known gunman, approached Hardin on the afternoon of August 19, 1895, and the two men exchanged heated words.
Ooh.
That night, Hardin and Wiley Coyote went to the Acme Saloon, where they began playing dice.
Shooting the craps.
Our foreign listeners might not get that reference.
I like craps.
Shortly before midnight, Selman Sr. walked into the saloon. In the ensuing confrontation, he shot Hardin in the head, killing him instantly before he could return fire. As Hardin lay on the floor dead, Selman walked over and fired three more shots into him.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure.
Well, it's probably a good idea.
Well, I think so.
Now, Selman Sr. was arrested for murder, stood trial. He claimed it was self-defense, and a well-hung jury resulted in him being released on bond pending pretrial.
Okay.
However, before the trial could be organized, Selman was killed in a shootout with U.S. Marshal George Scarborough. Following a dispute during a card game.
People need to stop playing fucking cards. Like, if you can't lose, stop playing fucking cards.
You know what? The thing is, don't play poker. Play hearts.
No, because these two were playing
Euchre.
Apparently what
Uno.
Happened here.
Uno would be great.
Is that fucking...
I love Uno. Reverse.
Even though he was a U.S. Marshal, George Scarborough, he had it too when John Wesley... When Selman Sr.,
mm-hmm.
They was playing Go Fish.
Mm-hmm.
He asked him for a two.
Mm-hmm.
He said no, he didn't have one. He really had one.
Wow.
So he pulled out his gun, shot him dead.
He was bluffing.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
So Hardin's buried in Concordia Cemetery
mm-hmm.
in El Paso, Texas.
This is interesting. You think this is over, but no.
It's about time it got interesting.
There's more. On August 27th, 1995, there was a graveside confrontation between two groups. One group, representing the great-grandchildren of Hardin, sought to relocate the body to Nixon, Texas, to be interred next to the grave of Hardin's first wife, Jane. A group of El Pasoans sought to prevent the move.
I just think it's like this big brawl breaking out.
Shit.
Big brawl breaking out over this guy's grave.
In the cemetery.
So at the cemetery, the group representing the descendants of Hardin presented a disinterment permit for the body of Hardin, while the El Pasoans presented a court order prohibiting the removal.
They were at a stalemate. A Mexican standoff. How ironic.
Jesus God.
So Hardin leaped out of his grave.
Right, and shot everybody.
When he heard Mexican standoff, Hardin leaped out of his grave and started shooting everybody in sight.
That's not true, but what happened?
Both sides accused the other of seeking tourist revenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they was trying to.
Lawsuit ruled in favor of keeping the body in El Paso.
It's just easier. You don't have to dig him up. Yeah. Thanks, they were that.
Now, court records show that John Wesley Harden was carrying a Colt Lightning revolver and an Elgin watch when he was shot and killed. The revolver and the watch had been presented to Harden in appreciation for his legal efforts on behalf of Jim Miller. Really?
Yeah.
Mine says John.
It can't, but go ahead.
So anyway, at his trial for the killing of ex-Sheriff George Budge Brejo. Now, this Colt was a .38 caliber 2.5-inch barrel, and if you know guns, 2.5-inch barrel's pretty damn short. It ain't gonna be all that accurate. Mm-hmm. With a blue hammer, nickel-plated, and blue triggers and screws. The backstrap is hand-engraved JBM to JWH. WWJD. I don't know what that means.
I don't think it was on there.
It has mother-of-pearl grips. And you know what I always
sweet
get?
Sweet mother of pearl.
Mother of pearl. What the fuck is mother of pearl?
It's oyster.
Somebody tell me what mother of pearl is.
I just did. It's oyster.
It's Pearl Bailey's mom.
Now, the gun in the holster once sold at auction for $168,000.
Wow.
Another Colt revolver known as a .41 caliber Thunderer. Which was owned by Harden and used by him to rob the Jim Saloon. Was sold at the same auction for $100,000.
That's a nice return.
In 2002, an auction house in San Francisco, California, auctioned 3 lots of Harden's personal effects. The lot contained a deck of his playing cards, one of his business cards. What the fuck kind of business cards would he have?
Well, you know, he practiced law. Esquire.
A contemporary newspaper account of his death sold for
John Wesley Harden, Esquire.
A contemporary newspaper account of his death sold for $15,000, and the bullet that killed Harden sold for $80,000.
Nice.
I believe the bullet that kills the colonel is going to be worth more than that on eBay.
Probably. So I'd pay that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Brandy, what's your thoughts on John Wesley Harden?
This whole fucking thing is just a hot mess. This fucker just goes around just shooting Willy and Nilly.
Colonel, what's your thoughts on John and Wesley Harden and John Wesley Hardon?
Now, see, John Wesley Hardon was a much more sympathetic figure.
Okay.
Now, from that time, it appears that they both engaged in the same amount of dirty flower violating.
The buggering.
Yeah, but...
Buggery.
Buggery and sodomy. But I would say that of the two, I would pick John Wesley Hardon to hang out with.
Yeah.
Because with him, you're only going
to with his wang.
Maybe get the chlamydia.
Right.
But with John Wesley Hardon.
He was often, but in his career, he was mostly a pizza boy, wasn't he?
He was always a pizza boy.
He could fix copiers, too.
Oh, copiers and a pool boy.
Yeah.
You know what I never get?
I never saw him do that, but...
Why don't women check their purses to make sure they got money before the pizza gets there?
I have no idea.
You know what I mean?
You would do that.
If you think... And now think about it. If it happened these days, these poor pizza guys are getting... They're getting laid far less because now you can use PayPal and pay
credit
on
cards,
with a credit card and everything else.
Yeah. You know, all the things come to an end.
Back in the good old days when you had to go to the ATM and have cash on you, you could get laid all the time if you was a pizza man.
Yeah.
Yes. Brandy, I'm sure every pizza man agrees with you.
Yeah. Where can people find us?
They can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have 2 pages. We have the History Dweebs page, which we update with real historical stuff. And then we have History Dweebs, the podcast group. That's where most of our listeners hang out, and we interact, and we get to know each other, and it's a pretty fun group.
And we are on iTunes.
iTunes. Please leave us a review. We've been getting some positive reviews, which we love. We check it every day.
Twitter.
We're at HistoryDweebs1.
Stitcher.
Stitcher. Yes. You can find us on Stitcher and most podcast apps. We'll find
yes.
Okay.
And I was at the store at the deli where I go down and get my sandwiches, Timmy.
Where you get deli with food.
And
Deli and Delhi.
They told me, I was giving a guy, he's getting married, I was giving him some advice.
Oh, thank God for that.
Did you give him some advice about the wedding night?
Did you tell him not to
do
it?
And, well, anyway, you know what he told me?
What? God.
He said, you know what? You should write a book. You should write a book.
Well, I think and, we're going to.
Let me ask you this question. Was this advice solicited, or did you just start yapping it?
Well, he was telling me about how he wanted one kind of wedding, and
how
his wife wanted another kind of wedding.
Briefly.
He's getting married.
Wait a minute. Reader's Digest version here.
Okay.
Briefly, how did you start talking to this guy about getting married?
Well, he's making my sandwich. I asked him how's the wedding plans coming. He said, you
how
know
how do you
what,
know he's planning on getting married?
I get my sandwiches every goddamn day down there. I know the guy.
See, that's
okay. Okay, so what's the moral of this story, Colonel?
The moral of the story is, I told him, here's the thing. I said,
you and I have talked about writing a book.
This is what you have to learn.
You can write a chapter if you want.
Male listeners, this is advice that you should take. As I told him, here's the problem.
Can I write the foreword?
Yeah, you can. You
might be right, but you're going to end up apologizing.
You may be crazy.
Yeah, because you're going to end up apologizing.
The lunatic you're looking for.
Because.
You know what? I never got BJ and the Bear. I never liked that show. I didn't like BJ or the Bear. Now, why is a monkey called the Bear? I don't know.
Could you let me get to the vortex of the story here?
Please.
So I told the man, and this is important advice for all male listeners. You got to learn, anybody thinking about getting married. In 2 days, tops, you are going to want to get laid. Mm. Women can hold out for a much longer time. Mm. So even if you're wrong, you're going to apologize. Just apologize tonight. Give her way. Get what you want. And go on about your business. Mm. Because they can hold out longer. That's what it really comes. Yeah. They got the boobs.
A lot of times they want money.
They got the boobs. They got the power.
That's true. That's how I get a new car. But my side question, what the fuck does that have to do with any goddamn thing that we're talking about? I'm just curious.
You know, unlike
because
you,
and he tries to pass along.
I care about all this.
It is hotter than Satan's asshole in this room, and you're not making it any easier.
I'm just
spitting more hot air.
I like to improve people's lives where you just stroll through life, not really caring what you wreck, who you hurt, who you bother, or having just a shred of human decency for anybody else.
Have you no decency?
She has no decency. So I'm trying to improve the lives. Now, the women out there, and we got, seems like mostly women listeners, they already noticed.
No, you only give shout-outs to women. We have a lot of men.
Everybody
that
didn't. We got Michael, Mike, and Chris, he already knows this stuff.
We've got Tommy.
258.
We've got Larry. We got Scott. We got a lot of men.
Yeah, but they're predominantly women, and they know that they have all the power, and so I tried to explain that to him.
We do have attractive women on
our
page. I will say that.
And he said, you know what? You're right. That's the story of my life. You should write a book on marital advice.
Yeah.
So
You should write a book on marital aids. You could be a marital aid.
The devil could write the book on marital aids.
Because he is a marital aid.
Okay.
Because he is a dildo.
We will see you all next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.